Okay, thank you very much all for staying put and not rushing to the main attraction. So this talk's about benchmarking, and it's not about benchmarking different algorithms about who can read in CSV files faster. It's about something more fundamental about who's got the fastest laptop, right? So all the results you're going to see here are biased because I've asked people to upload results. And I suspect that people with very fast laptops would want to show off and try and upload their results. So, I've been doing a lot of R courses over the last 5 or 6 years at Newcastle University. And they started off with Introduction to R, and then they moved on to Big Data and Parallel Computing. And I always got this question, you know, my R code is slow, you know, what should I do? And you think, oh, I should use RCPP, you know, that's quite cute, or some sort of lazy evaluation, and dplyr, that's really nice. And then you look at the laptop, and it's a netbook that's been bought 7 years ago, and you just really want to just buy a better computer. You know, it's just, why are you trying to do big data on a tiny little laptop with missing keys, that's got no RAM, you know? I jest not, I have had someone come with missing keys to a bioconductor course on a netbook. And you just buy a better. And I thought, well, should you? You know, it's easy saying buy a better computer, but is it actually worthwhile? When I was doing my PhD about 15 years ago, all the PhD students used to rush and get the newest computer because you just got an improvement. You know, the new computers were just better than the year before. Now, not so much. You know, they're a bit more shiny. If you have a Mac, they have fewer ports or more ports or something, they're whiter. But should you actually bother? So I wrote this little package, and it's one of these packages that you think this will only take 2 hours, and many days, weeks later, it came on. So it's all in CRAN, so you can just do the usual install packages, and then you can run a bunch of benchmarks. So I stole the benchmarks that are running here from a script that I found online by people much better than myself, so it does something quite clever, and it does it properly because I didn't write it, so things are going well. This argument here is just how many replicates they're going to do, okay? And when you run this function, it just runs a bunch of predetermined tests. So there's some programming benchmarks, so there's a bunch of Fibonacci numbers kicking about, sort of common divisors. The programming benchmarks are basically for loops, that sort of idea. And then there's another set of 5 tests on matrix stuff, you know, so multiplying, transposing, that sort of stuff. And then some more stuff at the bottom. So we've got a bit at the top that's sort of to do with for loops, and then another sort of set of 5 tests that's to do with matrix operations, a bit of regression, a bit of transpose. So I'm not really caring about speeding up this particular line. What I'm caring about is my computer faster at doing that than yours? So when you do that, you know, when you run that, you've got a choice to upload the results. So you can do upload results, and you can upload it to, and it goes to my website. And then I also steal a bit of information from you. So I try to grab your RAM, I try to grab your CPU. Trying to do that under all operating systems, then uploading to CRAN, you can imagine what happened. I tried to grab your operating system, figure out if you've byte compiled, figure out if you've got BLAS, get your locale, anything that R provides for free, I just stick it in and upload it. And then you can plot your results. And so here, this is the benchmark that I ran in my machine. These are the sort of 200 odd previous benchmarks, and you can see that I'm doing fairly well, so that's my little dot there. And then that's my little dot here. So that's relative time, so the fastest is 1, and this is actual time, where it's in seconds. Okay, so you get the same thing. And you'll get another 2 graphs, one with programming, one with something else. And so that's, you know, you can, I recommend, go away, mess about with this, you know, upload your results, more results are better. But it's quite interesting just seeing all the results there, you know, can we actually get anything about what the community does? And again, it's a very biased sample. I'm not going to conduct any p-values. The statistics here are all a bit ropey because, you know, who does this sort of thing? But you get interesting things. So there's around about 230 people, right, have uploaded. Some people might have uploaded more than once. That's fine, but 230 odd people. There's around about sort of 30 Apples, 89 Linux machines, and 106 Windows, okay? And out of them, very few people mess about with BLAST, so not, you know, a couple of you in Mac, quite a lot in Linux, not many in Windows. Okay. Trying to detect if someone's doing non-standard BLAST is hard, right. So there's all sorts of hand-wavy heuristics going on for trying to detect this, but that's the sort of idea. The number of people that byte compile their code, so when you install a package into R, it may or may not be byte compiled. So all of base R is byte compiled by default, right? So you install R, the base R is byte compiled. When you install a package, the package author can say to byte compile, or you can tell a package to byte compile when you install. So almost no one under Apple, no one under Windows, a lot under Linux, but let's say I had access to Linux, all the Linux computers in my department, which is around about 26 of these machines out of the 28. So no one under Linux other than myself who ran a script throughout my department. And I think two of these people were someone that came on a course, and two of those people at the top were someone that came on a course. So very few people byte compile as well. Hardware, these are rounded to get nice numbers. There's a few people up to 1 gigabyte. There's a couple of show-offs at the bottom, 256 gigabytes. And then there's something that the average person's got between 4 and 16, which seems plausible. Programming results. So these are programming results that sort of basically testing for loops, that sort of idea. No matrices, just sort of for loop operations. And you've got this sort of long tail. So this is relative time. So we've got this person right at the top that's 50 times slower than the fastest person. So if you Google Intel Atom, that's essentially one of the little tiny things. And I calculated it must have taken about 15 minutes to run the test, you know, so they run it for the long haul. But what's interesting is anyone that byte compiled basically beat everyone else regardless of the spec, right? So these are pretty much all my machines in the office, not all, more or less. And they range from brand new to ones that have been sitting in a dusty corner from 6 years ago. And they're beating, you know, everyone else. Again, it's for a particular set of tests, right? You know, so it doesn't automatically scale for all sorts of jobs. But, yeah. Another interesting question is, who would win against Apple versus Microsoft versus Linux? There's credit at the end of, I didn't draw this. And again, this is relative times, and so you've got Apple, so there's Apple and Mac, Apple and Linux, more or less the same. Microsoft slightly, although they've got a bit of the Microsoft talk. So Microsoft are all slightly, a bit slower, but not much. But when you start including byte compiling, you know, it doesn't really matter what operating system you're talking about for these particular sets of benchmarks. You know, if you byte compile, who cares? You know, it's faster. There's another set of benchmarks. This is to do with matrices. So again, we've got the same sort of idea. You know, you've got most of the computers are sort of kicking about in this long middle section. And then you've got a bunch at the start. And look, these are all the ones that have been blast optimized. And some of these computers aren't very good, you know, so don't think that these are the ones that are all the cutting edge. It's not that at all. You know, so it's blast optimized, your 5-year-old laptop probably beats someone's shiny new machine in the corner.
Are they doing multi-threading?
Yeah. Yeah. So it all goes multi-core. And basically any laptop 4 years old goes multi-core. I had a quick look at relative CPU differences, so I could grab, you know, so i3 Intel, i5, i7. And as you'd expect, the more you i7 is the fastest, relatively speaking. Not much difference, though. You know, I was a bit surprised at that. You know, really, I was expecting more, especially since I bought a new laptop that costs lots of money. But really, there's not much difference. And again, by the time you take into account Blast, you know, no one had an i3 with Blast implemented. But an i5 with Blast thrashes the i7 by, you know, 3 or 4 times. So these sort of simple optimizations, not many people are actually bothering with. You know, they're not new, they've been around for a long time. Byte compiling's been around from sort of R213, 212. There's, you know, Google Blast, there's lots of stuff online. But no one's really bothering. A new benchmark I've been messing about with, so there's not many results, is benchmarking input-output. So essentially what these tests are going to be is, you're going to read in a 5 megabyte file, then write a 5 megabyte file, then 50 megabytes, and 200 megabytes. And again, I'm not caring, is read.csv better than data.table or anything like that. It's about my machine compared to your machine doing the same thing. And so when you're reading in 5 meg and writing 5 meg, there's not much difference. That's my computer sort of round about here that costs lots of money with my solid state SSD drive. That's my laptop that's 4 years old without a solid state SSD drive, and I was somewhat upset to find that there was no difference really. Not a lot of difference for the amount of money you're spending. When you go to 50 megabytes, essentially these ones at the end are starting to sort of pull away, and when you go to 200 meg, you're starting to get, well, I don't know what machine that one is, it's probably a bit old, but that sort of surprised me of there's not much more difference between top spec machines and bottom spec machines. There's not a lot in it. There's not many results. The way this package has been constructed is it's easy to add it to your package. So if you've got a set of functions that you're interested in, how do users actually, you know, go about using it? You know, so it's really fast in your machine, but is it fast in their machine? And so this function upload results, it just takes in a matrix or a data frame. Matrix or data frame, so five columns. The first three columns are just the output from system.time, so you time whatever you want to time. The next two columns are just some labels, you know, telling you your test. And doing this function will put it onto my website, the next release of the package, your results will automatically be included. And in theory, all the plotting and shiny visualization will just work through. It's just another label. So if you're interested, you know, drop me a line and see about getting one. So, summary, upgrading hardware, you know, it's quite surprising that, you know, when I run courses, people come on them wanting to learn RCPP, which is great, wanting to learn Spark. And you think, you know, the amount of time and effort it's going to take you to do that compared to just spending £600 on a laptop from PC World will probably just solve your problem. You know, it's lots of people can just get this huge benefit by spending a tiny amount of money and not have to do anything particularly clever. No one byte compiles, almost, you know, so you could, if you, there's links at the end of this talk, so if you grab the slide. It's easy, you know, you stick it in your R environment file, any package you install automatically is byte compiled. So I've messed about with byte compiling. The worst that I've ever got is I've had no speed up. Well, I can live with that. I don't get a benefit, big deal. But for most packages, you get maybe a 1.5, 2, 3 times speed up for free. Right? There's very little downside. Blast is a bit more tricky, you know, it's taking a bit more messing about. You've got different operating systems, but again, if you're spending hours doing regressions and matrix manipulation, then spending an hour figuring out how to install the new machine isn't a big overhead. You know, it's an easy speed up without having to learn. And both of these things, Blast and Byte Compile, don't change your R code, right? So that's important, you know. Your R code stays exactly the same. I can send you my R code and it doesn't matter what Blast or Byte Compile you've got. Network drives it slow. I've now just remembered what this point up here was. This was the point on the university machine where we've got network drive. You know, so you can, when you run this benchmark, you can switch the directory. Do you do this benchmark on your hard drive? Do you do it on a network drive? And network drives are awful, you know. So our university is pretty good, it's super fast, but 200 megs is still big. And so all the benefit of having, you know, clever algorithms is, disappears. So, slides are there, and any questions?
Go ahead.
Okay. So when on the input output, it looked like what you were doing was sequential read and sequential write.
Just read.csv, write.csv.
Okay. So on that, with the SSD and the versus the non-SSD, the spinning disks, mm-hmm. that's where they're going to be the closest. Where SSD excels is on the random read and write.
Right.
Do you have any? Are you thinking of any tests that will test that, and how much those will impact R's performance?
Yes, I'm thinking. I have no idea how. I spoke to someone in the pub the other night, so it's all a bit hazy. They had a good suggestion. So I think you remember. I do remember who suggested it. So I'm going to sit in the audience. So he had an idea. I've not a feeling of how this implements R, SSD drives, non-SSD. I don't have a feeling.
So I think you just made a very good case that the CRAN pre-compiled Macintosh and Windows should have byte compiled, and I would think that the pre-compiled should also get the Blast rather than take the ones that come with the computer. Do you know of any reason why that would not happen?
Yes.
Martin Wood, okay.
Yeah, I mean, Luke Tierney is the main author of the byte compile, and there has been many progress very recently, partly also to Thomas Calibera, who is here. It used to be the case that you easily had could have code that was three times slower after byte compile or something like that. So that's the reason why it's not default for all the packages, and the package maintainer has to say this may change, and maybe that with your measurements or other benchmarks will show that it's the byte compiler is. You suggested it's never worse, but that's not true, and it hasn't been. It may be true with the very latest 3.3.1, the 3.3 version. Maybe.
Yeah,
so anyway, that was the reason why it's not default.
Yeah.
And then the other thing about the glass, we have these quite extended tests in R itself, and every once in a while, or sometimes even often, we see cases where it's not true that the same R code gives the same result if you run an optimized class. It's true in 99.99% of the cases, but I'd rather have 100% of the cases the exact correct results. And unfortunately, that's not true with optimized class. Sorry to say so.
Yeah, we can confirm that. Now, we spent quite a while debugging why we were getting differences between the R output and the fast R output for exactly the same code. And it turned out we were accidentally using an accelerated version of Glass on Mac, and GNU/R was running the standard one, and the output was different. So,
I think with the byte compiler, I've done a search, especially you know, so there were a few questions in Stack Overflow, and any slowed, any examples that showed slowdown and no longer slow in R3.3, I don't know about R3.2, but the examples that are in mailing lists and Stack Overflow saying you'll keep the stamp to a byte compiler doesn't work. It seems that.
No, that's good. We should tell Luke about it because he worked with Thomas. But the BLAS thing is still valid, and that's independent of our version.
All right, let's thank Colin.